And that's what we're working towards, is being like the most hyper-relevant, most helpful investor on your cap table. Our last NPS score was 100, which I'm incredibly proud of.
Wow.
But there's still a lot that we can do. Part of what we focus on is like, what is it that you really need at this point in time to unlock the growth for your business? And I think the approach of like, let me know how I can help is like, that's nice. But also sometimes like, you don't know what you don't know. And so what we consider to be more helpful is like, hey, based on where you're at right now, this is what startups typically need. Therefore, like, we're going to put you into this track, or we're going to book you into this session, or we're going to introduce you to this person.
I'll be honest, I spent so much time trying to find the right snippets to put at the beginning of this episode, because there was just so much value that my guests brought with her. I couldn't even decide what the perfect snippet would be, so I just pulled a bunch in there. I swear, every time I think we have a great episode, in comes another guest with even more value, and it's been so impressive. Danny and I explored every aspect of how they do platform at one of the most well-respected VC funds called Forum Ventures, where they work with 380 portfolio companies. And it's been so interesting for me to learn from her, because what I've realized is the way they operate at such a large scale is quite different from what I've learned about funds operating at the 15 to 20 portfolio company range, right? And you'll notice what the differences are as we dive into the podcast. Enjoy. Danny, super happy to have you on. You know, it's been months since our last conversation. So much has happened. I'm just so happy we're finally getting together to record our legendary podcast episode.
Thanks so much for having me, Mash. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. Hell yeah. So to get the audience just as excited as I am, Danny, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're doing at Forum Ventures?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Danny Pico. I'm the head of platform at Forum Ventures. For those of you who have not heard of platform, which I think is no one listening to this podcast. But what I do at Forum Ventures is focus on post-investment support. So once you get funding from Forum, my job is to make sure that you have access to the right supports, networks, connections to really accelerate your business. And so what I'm laser focused on is making sure that we can get our companies from where they are at the point of investment to be ready for their next stage of funding. And so I really focus on go-to-market and acceleration. And that's kind of what shapes our support around that. I can say more, but really my goal is just to make sure that all of our founders succeed in building their businesses.
That's a great point there, Danny, around, you know, the fundraising part. Would you say that getting your startups ready to raise their next round of funding, would you say that's the North Star metric or the North Star goal for platform overall?
No. So, I mean, the fund... It depends on the fund. For us, it's definitely about getting them ready for their next round of funding, but our North Star metric is really traction. Like, we focus a lot on deals signed, customers onboarded, because my belief and our belief as a fund is that VC money follows traction. And so if the businesses are doing well and growing steadily, then it will be easier for them to get funding.
Yeah, especially in this economy, right? Where there's a ton of startups looking for fundraising. But then investors are being extra careful, you know, heavier due diligence and really trying to uncover the track for investors, right? So
it's also, I mean, super important for founders to remember that, like, even after you fundraise, you still have a business to run. And if that business is going to continue growing, the fundamentals need to be there. And so I think a lot of our founders focus on fundraising, and that's super, super important, of course, as an early stage business. But we try to keep them focused on traction and growth and building a product that customers really love. And VC funding follows that, not the other way around.
That's a fantastic point there. I guess before we dive into everything platform, and I know we have a ton of things to dive into and we're going to get very tactical there. Fun fact, Danny, you're actually my first guest from Canada. And it's funny thinking we were actually in the same city there for a bit, which is Toronto. So question to you, Danny, is how are you seeing the venture capital space evolve in Canada? And how do you think it's different from what you see in the States? I'm very curious to hear from you.
Yeah, so happy to be representing. I think the Canadian venture ecosystem is small, vibrant, and growing is how I would describe it. I can't say enough good things about Canadian entrepreneurs. I think we have a fabulous group of Canadian entrepreneurs, many of them in our portfolio. Some of Canada's fastest B2B SaaS startups are in Forum's portfolio. Blanca, Minerva, Vendor PM, Calico, Private AI are all category defining startups that we've been lucky to invest in and have raised follow on funding from both Canadian investors and investors in the US. So I think VCs follow great entrepreneurs. And I think because of that, the Canadian ecosystem, Toronto in particular, has gotten a lot of attention from outside VCs. The ecosystem of Canadian VCs, I think my perception is that we have a vibrant angel ecosystem. We still have some work to do in the development of VC, particularly VC in the mid stages of growth. And by that, I mean, like, there's some early stage VC funds in Canada, and then there's later stage private equity VCs. It's really hard to get your A rounds, B rounds done from just Canadian investors. I'm super bullish on the ecosystem and where it's going. I think Canadian startups have a lot to give, and not to mention we have amazing supports from the Canadian government that have allowed for early stage startups to test a lot more and have a little bit more seed capital to get started. So there's IRAP support, there's innovation grants that Canadian startups can access. And I think that as well has captured the attention of some of our American VC friends.
That's actually super interesting. I had no idea that founders here have a hard time raising for their A and B, but I was in Texas, Austin specifically, for 2 days, 2 months ago. And I literally, in a span of 48 hours, Danny, I ran into a serial medtech entrepreneur. I saw an advertisement for an innovative bed that stops your snoring. I saw a startup office for a rocket ship company. I serendipitously ran into somebody I had a Twitter conversation with over DMs. He was just right there, and we just, our eyes just locked, and we're like, I know you. And all of that in just 2 days. I've heard about Shopify, like Toby from Shopify. And I think he's based out of Ottawa, if I'm not mistaken.
Not anymore.
Okay. So at Forum Ventures, what kind of startups do you invest in?
Yeah. So we, first thing I should say is we invest in startups across the US and Canada. So we're not just focused on Canadian startups. We invest in very early stage B2B SaaS, and we focus on companies for our pre-seed fund that have raised about 500K or less. Our focus as a fund is really our accelerator program. So we work with startups mostly as part of their first check, or come in as part of their friends and family round. We do 85 checks a year out of our accelerator fund. And what we look for is businesses in B2B SaaS who are building in large spaces where founders have really good founder market fit. Founder market fit is something I've written a lot about, but what we look for is, does this founder have a competitive edge or a right to be building in this space? We like legacy, unsexy stuff, the vertical SaaS. As an investor, we've been really focused on investing in legacy spaces that need new solutions. So we really like construction tech. We like health tech. And big spaces where founders can make a huge difference in building SaaS solutions.
I was actually listening to the founder of Procore talk about how he needed so long to get traction in the beginning. And the way that he spoke about, you know, essentially revolutionizing the construction CRM space, I believe, right? It was so eye-opening for me, because he literally had to go into, if I recall, go into construction sites, install Wi-Fi routers, and set up their entire, they had to do stuff that was so outside of what they were initially offering just to make sure their prospect was able to use their product. And then now today, they're a unicorn, if I'm not mistaken, right? I spend a lot of time reading about vertical SaaS, so it's very interesting that you mentioned that. Do you think it's advisable to invest in first-time founders or serial entrepreneurs? Because, you know, there's pros and cons to both. First-time founder might make, you know, a lot of obvious mistakes in the first year or two of him building the company, whereas a serial entrepreneur has been there, done that. So they're more likely to reach traction faster, if not pivot faster and get to that point quicker than they would, like a first-time founder would, right? But in your case and in Forum Ventures' case, do you prefer investing in first-time founders, or would you rather back serial entrepreneurs? How do you think about that?
Yeah, it's a good question. We don't really have a preference on that. We've invested in both, like fabulous first-time founders and founders who, especially founders who have built in other industries before, like, for example, founders who have done direct-to-consumer businesses and now switched to B2B SaaS. Because of our focus as a fund, and particularly through the accelerator program, what we really bring to the table is like B2B SaaS go-to-market expertise. And so we tend to invest in founders who want to partner with us on that. And so because of that, the profile founder that we end up working with is founders who can benefit from a partner who is extremely knowledgeable in the B2B SaaS go-to-market and product space. And we can help them accelerate their growth through giving them the tools, resources, and just like knowledge on how to navigate the B2B sales landscape. If you're like a direct-to-consumer founder or you've built a previous business, maybe not in the VC-backed space and are now coming to build a B2B SaaS business, that's a really interesting profile for us. If you're a first-time founder coming, for example, from like a B2B SaaS large-scale business, but this is your first go as a founder, that's really interesting to us as well. And I think from my anecdotal experience, I know the data references, you know, that second-time founders are more likely to be successful. I think from my experience, there's a lot of other factors that go into it. Experience, of course, helps, but so does like focus on execution, focus on customer feedback, prioritization, the ability to build a great team around you. I think second-time founders have some advantage there, but just because you've done it before doesn't mean that necessarily it's the right way to do it again.
And when I was reading about Foreign Ventures, Danny, I realized that you folks have an accelerator fund, you have a pre-seed fund, and there's also an AI studio. So I'm kind of curious, how do all of these tie in together and what's the story there? Because I'm trying to picture, if I was a founder applying to Foreign Ventures tomorrow, you know, how would I know what's the best fit for me?
Yeah, for sure. That's a good question. So I'll start with our AI studio. So for this studio, what we do is we incubate ideas and then partner with founders to work on those ideas for us. I think the studio would be the best fit for you as a partner if you're looking for really hands-on support building an idea from scratch. So we do the market research, we do the validation, we do the testing, we do the customer research before we launch a company to make sure that there's actually a need in that space. You probably know this, as do most of your listeners, but one of the reasons that startups fail most often is they don't properly validate the market sizing, and they don't really do customer research before going into things. So the AI studio is a fabulous tool for those founders who want to start a company and have expertise in an area, but want that idea to be a little bit more secured before taking the jump. And we have a full team that's dedicated to validating ideas, then launching them with startups, and we continue to support them on the go-to-market side, on the product development side. So it's extremely hands-on. Then there's our accelerator fund, which is also extremely hands-on. What we focus on there is having startups who have, they've already done some validation of their idea, they have an MVP, and they might have some early traction. What we help those companies with the most is really acceleration. So like go-to-market support and help, and making sure that the idea that they're working on is actually the right idea. So what we focus on during our first 10 weeks of Corn, our accelerator is a 30-week program. The focus for the first 10 weeks is like, hey, let's make sure that this is actually the thing that is going to scale to make you a VC-backable business. And so we start actually our accelerator program by focusing on cash flow management. Like, how do we make sure we buy you enough time for you to be able to work on these ideas? And then focus on how do we drill down your market? And a lot of founders come in with an idea of what they thought they were going to do and a problem space that's been validated. And then after a couple of weeks of working with us, decide to either focus on a different segment of the market or switch up the idea because they've found a deeper customer pain. And that's what an accelerator should do, is like help you validate the ideas and then accelerate your growth. And then our pre-seed fund focuses on companies that are a little bit later stage. We do some follow-on funding of our companies, but our pre-seed fund is a little bit smaller than our accelerator fund. So to give you an idea of size, we do about 85 investments a year from our accelerator fund. We'll do maybe 12 to 14 from our pre-seed fund. And for the pre-seed fund, like I said, some of them are follow-on funding from our accelerator, but we also like to invest in some later stage companies who maybe have just like a little bit more traction, are further along. It's hard to give straight numbers because it will depend a lot based on the industry that these companies are building in, what we would like to see. But we certainly are pretty active investors across all those three.
So you have the accelerator fund, you have the pre-seed fund, you have the AI studio, which is pretty interesting. Do you see other funds today following a similar model to what you guys are doing at Forum Ventures, where they're, you know, very involved with founders from a very early stage. And they have these different kinds of funds where they're involved at different levels with the founders. Is that a trend that you're seeing with other VC funds that are also investing in early stage startups? I'm really curious to hear you out.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Definitely, we've seen some funds start to reach into earlier stage startups. I think the sort of like hallmark example from the last year was Andreessen Horowitz launching their early stage companies program. So we do see an interest from sort of like legacy VC funds in reaching earlier stages into the community. Mm-hmm. I haven't personally seen someone who has a studio, an accelerator, and then a pre-seed fund. So I think we might be unique in that combination. But certainly the thinking around like, how do we reach founders earlier and invest in them and be part of their development and growth is something that I think a lot of funds are trying to do. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense, right? Like, you want to see founders earlier, you want to be able to invest capital earlier, you want to be able to partner with them on their growth, you want to be able to follow down on those who are growing really well. And I think ultimately it's a really great strategy, because if you come in as an earlier partner, you're then able to negotiate differently to give those founders more value to be part of their cap table. Whereas later stages, it's just a different conversation.
Yep, absolutely. I was listening to a pod earlier, a couple of months ago, I think. And the person said that being involved with founders at the incubation stage, ultimately you're betting on the founder. Yeah, you're betting on the market, you're betting on, you know, timing, et cetera, but you're also betting on the founder. What better way to learn about the founder and figure out your chemistry than be involved with them from such an early stage, right? And it just makes so much sense allocation wise. As you mentioned, the conversations are different and the relationships different there too, right? So I think that's a great point there. And jumping into everything platform, Danny, which is, you know, one of the many reasons I really wanted to talk to you. Congratulations on your recent promotion to be head of platform at Forum Ventures.
Thanks.
You know, that was super cool. Prior to being head of platform at Forum Ventures, you were community director at Forum Ventures. Now, personally, I'm always confused about the difference between community and platform. Sounds like some funds use it interchangeably. Some people say it's different. Walk me through what these terms mean. You know, what's the difference between community and platform? And how has your role changed at Forum Ventures ever since you moved from community director to head of platform?
Yeah, that's a good question. So for us, they are definitely integrated. Community is a key part of everything that we do at Forum. And one of the key parts of the platform function is to deliver on the value of community as a tool. So we use community as an unlock for our founders. And what we define as community is the relationship between founder to founder, the relationships we have with mentors and advisors, prospective customers, folks in the innovation ecosystem. We see community as being an important part, an important tool to accelerate our company's growth. One of the biggest parts is making connections to the right people or unlocking the right answer. And so we certainly invest a lot, not just in our founder community, but in developing that surrounding community so that we can support our founders through that. As an investor who has as many investments as we do, so we have a portfolio of just over 380 active companies, you're not going to know everything or know everyone. But if you know enough nodes within the ecosystem to be able to still unlock those doors for your founders, that's how you can provide a ton of value. And so that's a big part of what the community role focused on. The other thing that I will say for community is that VC funds are relationship businesses. What your founders have to say about you is everything, and which is why we focus so single-mindedly on the founder experience and like making sure that our founders have nothing but good things to say about Forum and how we've grown their businesses. And so that's a big part of what community is able to unlock, is like the relationships that they have with each other and therefore through each other with us as a fund and those connections that we've been able to make. You asked about how that fits into platform. I think, you know, from the previous answer, it's obvious that like it allows platform to really elevate what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Platform is a little bit more all-encompassing, and that we don't think just about community, but we also think about resources for growth. We think about programming. We think about some of the other elements that go into the founder experience outside of just who can we connect them to. So a lot of what I'm focused on is like, what is it that our founders need to learn in the early stages to really unlock or remove blockers for them? So what sessions or people can we bring in? I also think a lot about who, what tools need to be in place for us to be able to manage the founder experience well. And so I spend a lot of time focused on like designing products that help our founders navigate our resources better. And I think given the level of service that we strive to provide as a platform team, you need to be really good at operationalizing because we're just not willing to compromise on the founder experience as we scale. And if you want to do that, you need to be a product person. And so that's a big part of my role is like figuring out how we create those products to work together so that our founders experience Forum as like a very just-in-time service for them so that we hit them with the right information just at the time that we need it. And that's what we're working towards, is being like the most hyper-relevant, most helpful investor on your cap table. And I think for most of our founders today, we are. We have our last NPS score was 100, which I'm incredibly proud of. But there's still a lot that we can do. And I think, that's a big part of like how those two differ. I think the platform role just encompasses a couple more things than community.
Wow, what an eloquent answer, Danny. I love that. I just want to point out, like, there's over 300 companies in your portfolio, if not close to 400. And we all know, like, well, when I'm on LinkedIn, I see yours and Olivia's posts all the time. You're being mentioned everywhere. You know, I think the branding that you folks have at Forum Ventures is A+. It's extremely obvious to an outsider who doesn't know what Forum Ventures is. It's extremely obvious, you know, how involved you guys are, how much value you're providing. So what's been one or two of your top learnings as you've been building out your community or even the platform function? I'm very curious because I love where you guys are. You know, NPS 100, everyone's excited about Forum Ventures, but I'm sure it wasn't always like this. And I'd love to know what are one or two learnings that you've had along the way that other funds can learn from.
Yeah, for sure. I will share mine. And then I will also say that like a lot of the credit of where we are today goes to the platform team. We have a fabulous VP of marketing who spends a lot of time thinking about our brand, how we show up in the ecosystem genuinely and differently.
He's doing a great job.
Yeah. And then we also have, you know, our platform team who's been there for a long time before I came, who really focused on the founder experience and gave us the foundation to do some of the things that we've been doing. And I think we just have, we have a fabulous team of people who work really hard and care a lot. And I think sometimes that goes like understated and how much that matters. Like you can make up for a lot of things if you just have really good people who are actually committed. So I think that's one of my biggest lessons in life is like you can do a lot when you have really good people who are committed to working together. But I think on the community side and what I've learned, so community means different things to different people. And as a founder, you have access to so many communities, like especially if things are going well, you might be part of different accelerators, you'll be part of different funds, you'll be part of like different types of community. The feeling of community is important to us, but what is more important is like, what is it that you want to get out of this? Like, what's in it for you? And I think that all humans, there's a value exchange, right? Even if that value exchange is community focused, like, what is it that we can give you that's going to make it worth your time to continue spending time with us? And so that's how we really think about shaping what we do is like, I think a big part of community is like when I have a question, I can get an answer to it that I know that I can trust. And so a big part of what we focus on is like, how do we help answer our founders' questions in ways that, you know, they don't have to spend hours on the internet Googling stuff or hours researching through different partners that they might work with? Like, how do we make that experience easy for them?
Yeah.
And I think that that is something that a lot of community folks could benefit from thinking about is like, it's not just about having a group of people. It's about niching in on what it is that they want to get from you. And a big part of that is like figuring out what is it that they're not getting elsewhere. The other thing I would say is that it's very hard to keep a community tight knit, especially as you scale, and figuring out what you're not going to be is really important. Like, people are going to naturally outgrow your community, we work with founders throughout their lifetime. We really take pride in the fact that, like, once they've been through our accelerator program where we've invested in their seed round, they can contact us. They can continue to put in asks as long as they're building their companies. But as they grow, we're not the best investor to support your Series B questions. And that's okay. And so at that point, what we think about is like, okay, given that this relationship is still super important to us, what can we provide for these founders that still fits within our core of what we do? And so we've experimented with things like, can we help your employees get some specific training for them as they scale? Because you as a founder will have access to tons of communities, but maybe they don't. And I think really figuring out like how you can lead with value and what you can bring to the table, and also figuring out what you're not going to be and what you're not going to bring to the table, is super important.
One of the things that, you know, when I was reading up on Foreign Ventures, the mentors and advisors that you tap into in order to benefit your community of founders, I was reading a tweet from Paul Graham, who said that if you're growing really fast, no one cares about your mentors and advisors. If you're not growing at all, nobody cares about your mentors and advisors on the pitch deck, which I found to be a very interesting comment. So in your case, Danny, and in Foreign Ventures' case, how do you know what mentors and advisors to tap into? I guess it goes back to, you know, having those conversations with your founders, seeing what they need, what they may need a quarter or two down the line, and then reaching out into your internal circles to find those individuals. Is that the process for finding the right advisors at Foreign Ventures for your founders? Or is there another way that you actually make sure that the right mentors are being matched with your platform community and with your founders?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's also something that I will say is like evolving in our design at Forum. So a big initiative that we launched recently is called the Zero to One Collective. What we're focusing on for the Zero to One Collective is bringing in people who are either former founders themselves who have scaled companies, or early stage operators. The types of people we're looking for is like, I was the first salesperson or first marketing person, first operations, first engineer. And the reason that we've really focused on those people is that you can have some really good expertise and knowledge if you work at a large brand name company. But to apply that to a setting where you have zero budget, zero people, zero tooling is very different. And so what we want to bring to the table is like a really zero to one experience where our advisors and mentors can give you really tactical, not just like, here's what I think, but like, I've been there, here's what I did, or here's what I tried, here's how it went for me. And I think that what that mentor network will allow us to unlock is a way that's just a lot more relatable. And I think I personally feel like a lot of people who are advisors or mentors are like, it can be really valuable, and it can also be like a colossal waste of time, because people will give you mostly like non-contextual advice. And that's something we're really mindful of, right? Like the reason we pair our startups with a managing director when they come into the accelerator program is we want you to have someone that can give you experience and context, not just like advice. And I think that that's something that's really important, is like, we don't just match our founders with people because it's like cool to have it on their pitch decks. It's like really important to us that they're really getting value from those connections, or that those connections help them unlock things that are going to help them move their business forward. And so that's how we think about it, the process for how we do that. So there are places into our programming where advisors are plugged in, where we'll get them to give super tactical advice on things like, hey, can you review this cold copy or this sales deck and give feedback based on what you've seen works? Or like, can you take a look at this product roadmap and give feedback on how that works? And then there's some more like advising that we plug them into at our week 10. At week 10, what we do is sit down with our founders and customize the back half of their programs entirely based on where they're at that point. A part of that is like bringing in mentors or advisors who can help them unlock certain parts of their journey that we might not have the expertise on.
And when you say week 10, are you referring to the Accelerator Fund?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And is it the same platform team that serves the AI Studio, the Accelerator Fund, as well as the pre-seed fund?
It is for the pre-seed fund. It's just a little bit different of a setup. So our pre-seed fund, we still give them access to our network. We still work with them to unlock our community. And we still like certainly open up our resources to them. It's just a little bit less structured because those startups will be at different places in their journey. But certainly we still make like mentor advisor introductions through there. And our philosophy is a lot the same. It's like, how do we help connect you to people who can actually move the needle for you?
So on that point, and something you mentioned earlier, which I found super fascinating, is you said just in time. So being able to provide just in time service so that when the founders need something, they think of Forum Ventures first up, and you're right there when they need you. You also, one of the things that I have been thinking of is also anticipating your founders' needs, right? What super fascinates me about Forum Ventures is that there's over 3 unread startups. There's a lot going on there. So this is a two-sided question, or rather two-part question. The first part is, how should a VC fund anticipate their founders' needs? And like, how have you folks done it at Forum Ventures? That's question one. And the second question I want to ask is around how you're scaling that effort. It's one thing to work with a portfolio of 10 startups and anticipate their needs. It's another thing to work with a portfolio of 300. And so how do you anticipate your founders' needs at Forum Ventures without, you know, spamming your founders every day? And how have you scaled it to 300 founders? That's over 300 founders.
I mean, that is like still something we're working on. I think we do a good job, but like looking at things, there are definitely areas where like we could improve significantly. So in terms of the how do we anticipate the needs for our founders, part of what we focus on is like, what is it that you really need at this point in time to unlock the growth for your business? And I think the approach of like, let me know how I can help is like, that's nice. But also sometimes like, you don't know what you don't know. And so what we consider to be more helpful is like, hey, based on where you're at right now, this is what startups typically need. Therefore, like, we're going to put you into this track, or we're going to book you into this session, or we're going to introduce you to this person. So really focusing on like parts of their journey where founders typically need support. And if you think about it, it's like always similar buckets of things, right? Like they'll all need support with introductions to customers or understanding their market. They'll all need support with some sort of sales motion. They'll all need support with fundraising, introductions to investors, figuring out how to best run those meetings. They'll all need support with their company building and things like, what tool do I use for this? What operation system have you used for that? What accountant do you use for this? Like those types of things are things that if you're a first-time founder especially, can eat up a lot of your time. And so simple things like being like, hey, you just raised your first tranche of money, you should consider these tools that you might need. Or, hey, you're about to sign your first customer, have you considered getting business insurance? And really trying to like plug into the part of their journey where they are at, I think is a helpful way to figure out how to anticipate their needs. I think on the broader portfolio and how we anticipate their needs as they continue to grow, that part, we do quarterly reporting. We ask them what their top 3 priorities are going to be for the upcoming quarter. So it's not like perfect anticipation of needs, but it gives us a good picture of like what across the portfolio are people focused on, and how do we then respond to that by creating programming resources, communities, networks. And I think to your point about scale, we prioritize initiatives that can really service the majority of the portfolio. And so if the majority of the portfolio is focused on go-to-market initiatives, then it's like, well, how do we get more mentors in the go-to-market space? Or how do we build networks so that we can better introduce our founders to go-to-market experts? And we really try to think about just like what moves the needle for the greatest number of our portfolio companies. And sometimes that means that we can't help with everything. And that's okay. Like, you're not going to be able to help with absolutely everything. But if you can focus on the things that really significantly move the needle for your founders and their companies, which are mostly introductions to really good talent, introductions to customers, and then unlocking or removing roadblocks from their business growth, I think you're doing pretty well.
It just makes so much sense. You know, it's wow. I want to dive in a little bit deeper. So you mentioned, you know, you do quarterly reporting. I'm curious about the logistics around it. Is it, let's say, an email that goes out to every founder 4 times a year? Or do you have, let's say, you know, a bi-monthly standing meeting for 20, 30 minutes? Because I know you also have a small platform team, right? So again, here's the fascinating part is 300 startups, 6 to 7 person platform team. And now there's also quarterly reporting. So how does all the logistics tie in together?
Yeah, so we actually use tools to support us with that. Mm. So we use a tool called Visible VC to run our quarterly reporting asks for us. What we're trying to get a picture of there is, how's the company doing? Like metrics, growth metrics specifically, and then ask them questions about what their upcoming priorities are and what their upcoming fundraising plans are. So trying to identify areas where we can support them. If we need to have a follow-on conversation based on what we're seeing in the reporting, then we'll follow up with that. So an example is like if a company told us they want to fundraise, then we'll reach out and be like, hey, you know, let's have a conversation about this based on where you are right now. It may or may not be a good time. And same with like some of the customer growth priorities. And so we really rely on like founders completing those reports as the mm-hmm. best way to stay in touch with us. And I think that what we say to our founders, which is the truth, is like the more we know about your business, the more we can actually be helpful. And so if we don't know anything, then we can't find areas to support you. And generally that works pretty well.
And in terms of tooling, you mentioned Visible BC. Mm-hmm. Any other tools that you're using in the back end? You know, if I were you, I'd use Airtable, you know, to keep track of everything. What's your tech stack for the platform function at Forum Ventures?
Yeah, so we use HubSpot as our CRM. So that's sort of like the backbone. We use Airtable a lot, particularly for keeping information about our founders. We use Zapier to keep everything connected. And then we also use this fabulous tool called Fill Out, which I discovered earlier this year, which helps you gather information from founders. It pulls in information from an Airtable or HubSpot and allows them to update information, which has been huge because I hate asking founders to repeat themselves. So I try to avoid that wherever possible. And so that's our stack. We kind of use them for different things. Our CRM is definitely like the single source of truth and where that information lives. And then we just like the flexibility of Airtable to be able to pull that information to other places. We use a tool called Software to build in what we call internally our founder feed, which is like our internal resource hub. So we pull in all of the different resources that we have available to founders through there and then give them access. And what those things look like is a collection of templates so that you don't have to write contracts from scratch, or a contractor network where you can look up best rated contractors that our founders have recommended so you don't have to look through the internet. things like that, access to our perks, access to past recordings, access to all the sessions we do during our first 10 weeks of core. And so that's really like our central space where founders can access what we provide them at Forum. Mm. And then through that, that's all connected. So the back end is entirely Airtable, super easy to update. And I would say, yeah, I'm trying to think. I think that's it in terms of tech stack.
Pretty lean tech stack for a company this big. I love it. So I'm curious, what the future looks like at Forum? You know, so there's four pillars from my understanding of your offering, of your platform offerings at Forum. There's go-to-market, product, operations, and hiring. How do you want to evolve these over the next 3 to 5 years at Forum? I ask that because, again, for someone looking at Forum Ventures from the outside in, there's a lot going on, and yet everything looks and feels very organized and well put together, and the founders are getting value from it. But how do you 10x that? Like, I'm very curious how you're envisioning the future at Forum, specifically for platform.
Yeah, that's it's a difficult question to answer, and I think honestly, it's a two part answer, and this is where I'm grateful to come from like an operator background. Like, I think if you think of this a lot like scaling a community or scaling a customer success team, then you know that like first and foremost, what you need to have is really tight operations and data. Because if you want to know your customers and service them well, you need to first know a lot of information about them that allows you to unlock that. And so the thing that I've been like backbone always focused on is how do we operationalize and centralize the data that we have so that we can provide better service for our founders. And so that's a big focus area always, especially when it comes to scaling. I think that if you don't want to compromise the quality of service that you're offering, which we are like 100% not going to do, then you need systems. And like you need systems that allow you to make decisions, automate things, help to keep things running in the background and really focus on high touch point areas. And so that's a big priority for me, is like, how do we make sure that the face-to-face time we're spending with our founders is always high value? So we're not like making them do unnecessary administrative tasks, or if they are giving us information, how do we use that to make sure that they feel the value in completing their reporting? So it's not just something useless for them to do. It's something that we then use to leverage and support them better. And so those are the types of things that I'm always thinking about. And then I think we talked about this a little bit earlier, but I think what I would like to see in platform is that just-in-time support for founders that is proactive, predictive of where they are and what they need at that point in time in their founder journey. I would love to have someone be like, it feels like Forum is reading my mind in what I need and anticipating their next question. And I think that I think that's all of my like customer success account management background coming into play and saying like, how do we create a truly delightful customer experience for our founders? And obviously we don't think of them as customers, but you can bring in a lot of lessons from that industry into this one and figure out like, okay, if you were scaling this as a function at a company that was highly committed to keeping that quality of service, then what would you do? And it comes down to like data and operations, and then also staying in tune with the market, right? Like what our founders need this year versus 2 years ago is very different. And so making sure that we're always iterating, always working on what our offering is to make sure that we're not offering them something that was relevant 2 years ago, but no longer is.
So one thing I wanted to ask you, Danny, is advice. When I was in school, I would always reach out to people who are working in the industry and ask them for advice on how I should build out my career. And I bring the same energy to this podcast, where I want to ask you, if there was a 20-something year old trying to get into venture capital or trying to get into platform specifically within venture capital, and if they're a first timer and they have no idea about VC, what advice would you give them today so they're able to position themselves in the perfect way?
Yeah, this is a question I love because I get it all the time. And also I always have the same answer. I think it was never like my objective to work in venture. It's still, I wouldn't say, is like my objective to have a lifelong career in venture. I'm just obsessed with founders and building things. And I think that that's the best way into platform, is like, go work at a startup, go do the hard work, go be a founder, go understand what that process is like, because that's how you're going to be a good VC. And that's how you're going to be a good platform leader. Is it's really hard to come in with no experience of what that industry is like, and like no lived experience of what that industry is like, and then try to put yourself in the shoes of people who are living that day to day. And so I really feel passionately that like, if you want to work in venture, you should be a founder first, so that you can really understand like what goes into it. And then you're so much better able to support your founders. If you don't want to be a founder, go join an early stage startup. You get a lot of the experience of like being adjacent. It's not the exact same, but like you need to be on the ride before you can provide any kind of help to those currently on the ride, is my thinking on that.
And it goes back to customer success, right? What you mentioned earlier. How can you serve the people best if you don't exactly know what they're going through? And I think context is critical. When I first became a founder, before I became a founder, I would look at all these, you know, TechCrunch articles and I'd be like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, that's me, right? But then you start trying and then you realize, you know, prospects don't want to talk to you because they don't want to waste their time. The product is weird because you don't know how to build it. How can you build something for a customer when you don't even know what they need? What questions do you ask them? How do you understand if they would be willing to buy your product? It is so difficult and it really humbles you. And you realize that, yeah, it's definitely not sunshine and rainbows every day. It's a ton of hard work. And quite frankly, there's never a guarantee, right? There's never a guarantee it's all going to work out.
Absolutely.
Which is, I think, you know, when you're taking money from a VC like Forum Ventures, to know that they're there to, you know, lower the possibility of failure and increase the chances of potential success. I think that is such a beautiful relationship to be in for a decade. Because as they say, you know, a VC relationship is like a marriage, you know, it's a 10-year plus relationship.
A big part of platform is like massive empathy. Like you have to have so much empathy for people on their journey. And I think that that's something that really makes us different as a VC from my experience in the industry is like, because all of us at Forum have been on the journey in some form or another, it's like okay to talk to us about where things are not going well. It's okay to talk to us about the areas where you failed. It's okay to call us to tell us that you're not going to make payroll. Like none of those things, A, freak us out, or B, like you're not going to get like a cold-hearted stone face on the other side, because at the end of the day, like you know that shit feeling in your stomach. And so I think that that's a big part of why it's so important to have been through the journey or in the journey, is because you can then approach things with a different lens and a little bit more empathy, which I think makes you better in every way.
One of my previous guests, Julian from Maze Impact, she said, you cannot automate empathy. And it's one of their core pillars where they try to really understand the founders and meet them where they are. And it really encourages both parties to remove the facade and just be human with one another. And again, that's the best possible way to build relationships, transparent and honest relationships. And I'm so happy to, again, like I told you, see, it rhymes, you know, the platform, the best people in platform, all their words rhyme, you know. It's a very, very nice to hear. Danny, this was so, so fascinating. Tons of gems here. I love how deep we went into platform. And thank you for revealing so many important points I didn't even know about venture capital and more importantly, platform. So, so grateful to have done this. However, I cannot let you go until we do our rapid round of questions.
All right.
Are you ready? Can I throw them at you?
Let's do it.
All righty. Okay. I'm gonna stretch for this one. Oh, all right. Favorite pizza topping?
Mushrooms. Is that not like
never heard anybody say mushrooms. People,
oh, I fucking love mushrooms.
That is normal. Mushroom, that is normal. People have told me, so one of my guests, she said, pesto chicken with barbecue sauce.
That's really specific.
Right? And she was so passionate too. I was like, damn, girl, like relax.
I'm just boring. Right, mushrooms.
You know what? I dig it. If you could pick one superpower, what would it be?
Oh, definitely like the ability to understand every possible language as my own and like speak every language.
Huh. That's so practical though. Like, I love it.
Soon to come with AI innovation, I might not need that superpower anymore. But like, yeah, I just think speaking to people in their own language is just different.
Yeah, and it also increases empathy because it feels like they understand you more because it's their mother tongue. Anyway, okay. What's your go-to comfort food?
Oh, I love mashed potatoes. That's probably also like a boring answer. I don't know. I just love them. There's something really
boring,
comfortable,
man.
About
No. One of my last guests said the same thing. But it was like a very specific kind of mashed potatoes. And again, hyper niche and specific. And apparently he only gets it at the top of a ski resort. I'm thinking, man, like these questions
people,
are
I'm
so...
I'm just over
like,
here the having answer. The diet of like an old British man, apparently.
Hilarious. Favorite movie?
My favorite movie is this movie called Big Fish. It's not a very popular film, but I just absolutely love it. I think it's a fabulous story. And it just like makes me very emotional. I love that movie.
If your life was a movie, Danny, what genre would it be?
Oh my God, definitely like satire. Like British humor.
Would you have started with these? I love
No, I think it would probably be like a feel-good movie. Like
feel-good? What even is that?
Yeah,
I don't even know what that
like
means.
It would be that movie that you watch and then you feel better after. It wouldn't be one of those movies that you watch and you're like, why did I watch this? Now all I can think about is
microplastics. So your perfect evening then is just pizza with mushrooms, mashed potatoes later on with a feel-good movie in the back.
I mean, you know, isn't that like everybody's perfect evening?
I figured you out, Danny. I figured you out. This, gotcha. We should have started with these questions. Danny, this was very nice. I loved every minute. We went into specific details about platform. I'm so happy to have you on, and I'd love to do this again sometime, potentially with more guests, and we can do like a round table, like 3 or 4 platform leads. You know, it'd be so fun. You've been great. I love this so much, Danny. Thanks a ton for coming on. Yeah, really.
No, thanks for having me, Mash.
Can you believe that? I mean, I learned so much from her in just, what, 1 hour? It's truly amazing the lens that she and her team goes to make sure their founders have everything they need to continue building traction from day one, even after they graduate from the Forum ecosystem. Just, wow. I could compliment Forum for another 20 minutes, but I'll stop myself right here. If you want to get in touch with Dani, she's amazing. We all know that. So I'll put her LinkedIn in the show notes below. And in the meantime, if you want to see the podcasts that we do or the episodes that we have and the wonderful guests that we have on the show, head on over to YouTube and type in Hire CMO Podcast. That's H-I-R-E C-M-O Podcast. And look for Daniela Pico's episode. Thanks for tuning in and have a wonderful day. Bye.